Hi there, I'm Shelley Freelo, and welcome to the Ministry of Marriage podcast on HerFaithRadio.com. I'm an author, speaker, founder, and president of HerFaithVillage.com Ministries, a multifaceted ministry for women and youth. But my main role is as wife to my husband of over 30 years and as women's ministry leader for over 25 years. I'm so happy you were able to tune in for today's podcast. Thank you for joining the podcast today. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the seasons of marriage. And we will be looking at Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Let's begin. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What we're going to do is really break these verses apart because it really gives us a glimpse into the seasons of our marriages. Oftentimes when I'm talking to couples or to a wife, they don't get the concept of a season of marriage. You know, that marriage is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. It's not something that you can do and the first sign of trouble, you just say, I need out. You have to make it past the rough seasons to get to the good. So let's get to, what are these verses explaining to us in respect to our marriages? Verse 1 starts out by saying everything has a season and everything is in time with what is going on according to God's will under heaven. This means that as our marriages grow, as they mature, there is a purpose for even the craziness of marriage, according to God's plan. You know, if you follow the podcast, you will hear me say that those individual promises that God makes to us individually as Christians are also what God makes to us in our marriages. Because remember, as we got married, two became one. So that means that those promises are even in effect for our marriages. That means that when God allows things to transpire in our marriages that may be unpleasant, or those seasons that may cause us to regret saying I do, those seasons are brought about to strengthen us as a couple, to grow us as a couple, to help us get closer to Him as a couple. So when we look at these things, we have to say, okay, right now my season of my marriage is maybe great. I'm having a wonderful season. But I need to understand that just as it says in Ecclesiastes 3, with the good comes the bad. We see this reflected in all 8 verses, that you see the good and the bad of each season. So the trick is that we have to be able to make it past the bad season to receive the good. Now, I want to be clear about some things because, you know, the enemy is crafty and he can take anything and twist it around. I am not talking about a season of abuse. As women, we can fall victim to abuse in marriage, whether it is physical abuse or emotional and mental abuse. Those are not seasons of marriage. That's sin. That is sin that needs to be delivered from. And sometimes that deliverance has to come through separation from the person that is bringing that type of abuse in your life. Separation with the intent of reconciliation. Just as God allows mankind to be separated from them until they can come to him on his terms. So I want to be clear that this is not speaking of a season of abuse. This is talking about maybe you have a season where you're just not connecting with your spouse, that the communication is bad, or you just don't seem that you are on a high note in your relationship. Well, understand that that is just a season, and the season will change. The deal is the enemy uses the season of negativity to keep us from getting past that season to the season of positiveness. When we look at verse 2, it says, a time to be born and a time to die. It was a time that we were born into our marriage when we said, I do. And then, just like as in everything else, that season may come that seems like the marriage has died, that there's nothing left in the marriage. But the truth is, because we know that God balances the good with the bad, in order to bless us more greatly, more perfectly, I can say to myself, this is just a season. It does not mean that this is the way that this marriage is going to be for the rest of our marriage, for the rest of our lives. It's important that we accept the season, but it's equally important that we look forward to the next season of happiness and joy and peace.
Some seasons last for a moment, some seasons last for a while, and some seasons even last for years. The deal is, just because the season has not come and gone yet, doesn't mean that it won't.
It's clear through these scriptures, verses 1 through 8, that yes, there will be times for healing, times for building up the marriage, time where the marriage is being broken down. A great example of this is a time of infidelity, whether it's on your part or your husband's part. Many couples think that they can't make it through that season. But the truth is, you can. You have to choose to do that. And the spouse has to make a decision that this was a bad, bad thing to allow this type of sin to enter the relationship, and it can't happen again. But marriages can make it past that. Marriages can make it through infidelity. If you're the one that has to do the forgiving, then it's going to take prayer. It's going to take patience. It's going to take being real with where you are and being real with God about how you feel. Do you even want to save the marriage? Or are you personally in a season of, I don't want to do this anymore? If you're the person that needs forgiving because maybe you're the person that committed adultery, then you have to allow that other person to go through the process of grieving over their marriage, over the broken trust of that marriage, over the broken intimacy of that marriage. You know, one of the things that I try to share with couples and with women is sex in the world standards is just made to make you feel good, to just make you have something to do with your bodies with the other person. But when we look at God's word, sex is so much more than that. Sex is a intimate act between a husband and wife. And that intimate act should be something that is only shared between those two people. So when one person out of that relationship turns to someone else with that intimacy, no matter if it just happened once, what happens is that intimacy, that trust, that deepness in the relationship has been broken. It's a death that has happened to that relationship. And so, as in all death, there has to be a period of mourning, a period of grieving. And that's okay, but we can't stay in that grief. We can't stay in a period of mourning. We have to come out of it at some point. And we do that by trusting God to help deliver us from that. If you've decided that this is just not going to work, you can't get past it, you just want out, infidelity is the one thing that God tells us. That's how important it is. It's the one reason that God gives to say you can divorce and I will not hold it against you. That is how serious sex in marriage is that God says that this act that I have given you, the gift that I have given you of sex between a husband and wife, is so sacred so intimate, so meaningful, that if one of you breaks that bond and seeks that type of intimacy from someone else, I give you permission to go your separate ways without being angry with you, without you having to repent for that choice. It's the one time that God tells us that we can get divorced. That's how serious this is. So if you have gone through a season of infidelity, understand the seriousness of what has happened, whether it's you who were unfaithful or your husband who was unfaithful. You both will have to allow the grieving process to take place, mourning to take place, and then recovery to take place. The next thing that we want to really understand and accept is that when we're going through a season of difficulty, that season of happiness is not far off. But Satan wants to keep us focused in the season of difficulty so that we have no hope for what's coming around the corner. When the children of Israel were about to be delivered, about to get everything that God had promised them, they cursed Moses for putting them in the position of more burdens. Pharaoh was so angry that Moses would ask him to set his people free that he put more burdens on them than he first required. So in their humanness, they looked at it as, why did you even ask for deliverance? Why did you even try to do this? Look what you've done to us. You've made it worse than what it was. But unbeknownst to them, their deliverance was right around the corner. But they were so focused on the negative, on the hopelessness that they had, of the burden that Pharaoh had put on them, that the taskmasters were creating an unbearable, intolerable environment, that they couldn't see the blessing that was right around the corner. And that's the place that Satan wants to keep us in our marriages. When I said earlier that when we separate as Christians, we should always separate with the intent of reconciliation. The only time that we don't have to do that is when infidelity is involved, right? We just covered that. But the deal is that if we've gotten to a point where we've had to separate, I have to know my deliverance is coming. This isn't the end of my marriage. This is just a season. And that when there's a season, you know, I live in a place where there are all four seasons. And when you see the seasons, you can tell. Right now, we're about to go into winter. So you start looking at the days are getting, the daylight's getting shorter. You start noticing that the mornings are getting a little bit cooler. You start seeing that the leaves are falling. Because there's signs that winter is coming. That next season is on its way. It's the same in our marriages. Whether it's a good or bad season, you start to see signs of the season that's about to happen. If we're paying attention, and when we're paying attention and we see the signs of the season that's about to come up, it helps to better prepare us for what's coming. If I know that next year seems like it's going to be a rough season for my marriage, I can now more effectively target my prayer. I can more effectively be meditating on what I need to be praying and calling out to God for. So when we're looking at the seasons of our marriage, we want to look at our seasons with expectation of deliverance. Because had Israel decided to stay on the other side of the Red Sea, they didn't take the path that God had laid out before them, they would have never made it to the other side and eventually to the Promised Land. Because the blessing was not on the side where Pharaoh was standing, the blessing was on the other side of the Red Sea. So my sisters, if you find that you are in a season of hopelessness, despair, negativity in your marriage, seek God for that thing and know it's just but a season. And just as Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 reminds us, for every season, there is a time for every matter under God. Until next time, ladies, may God bless your marriages and grow your spirit. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. I'm so happy you tuned in today. Please join us next week for another insightful episode of the Ministry of Marriage podcast. If you would like to be a featured podcaster, contact HerFaithRadio.com. Thank you again for listening.